I love watching the movies where the plot twists and you think they're safe, and then the next thing you know, they're not, and then you think they're safe again, and you have this roller coaster of emotions. But that's only for entertainment. I don't like that in my life. So that second glass was, I will deliver you. The third glass was, I will redeem you.
Wow.
And they did this every year, and that point of I will redeem you had to have significance to it, because when you're enslaved and somebody redeems you, that means you're free. The fourth glass was probably the most significant glass, and that's the promise where Jesus, or where God said to his people, the Israelites, I will make you my own.
God, we desperately need you. We depend on you for our sustenance and daily existence.
Lord,
have mercy and give us grace. God, we bring you our weaknesses and our sin. We're sorry for the times we've made mistakes, for when we've fallen short, and even for when we've willfully wronged you. Lord, have mercy and give us grace. God, we want to let go of the wrongs people have done toward us, to let go of bitterness, anger, and even hurt. But we need your help to do this. Lord, have mercy and give us grace. God, we're vulnerable to temptation. We're weak in the face of social pressure, and we recognize the threat of our enemy, Satan. Lord, have mercy and give us grace. And God, even when we succumb to temptation, we ask that you rescue us from the pit of despair and place us on higher ground. Lord, have mercy and give us grace. And all God's people said, Amen.
Please be seated.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free.
Ah!
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's so good to see you this morning. Appreciate you being here. If you're watching online, we love you and we want to invite you to join us at any chance that you get. I got up this morning. How many of y'all got the notice that we are under a tornado watch? All right. I got that notice too, and I thought, well, that's going to keep some people from being here today. But it didn't keep you. And I want you to know that if a tornado was to strike directly on this building, it was built to withstand a tornado. So you're in the safest place in the world. Not because of the building, but because God is with us. Amen?
Amen.
We're changing things up today. If you look at your lesson notes, you'll see the scripture in there that I've got for our invitation. It says, so then, whenever you eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, you'll be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. You see, there, you are one of two people that came into the audience this morning. You may be one that came in this morning ready to participate in worship. And if you're here today and you came to participate in worship, one of the things that will happen to you is you will examine yourself to see how you're living in accordance with God's word. The other person that comes in here on Sunday morning, they come in here not to participate. They come in here to be judges of what goes on, to determine whether or not they like the songs were being sung, they like the preacher, whether he tells enough funny jokes, whatever it is, but you will not leave here judging yourself or examining yourself. Reason why I tell you that is because we sing an invitation song every single week. So if you want to respond to your worship, if you want to respond to the message, you'll have that opportunity to do so. But one of the things that those of you who've come in here to participate in worship, you should have already examined yourself. The invitation for us is when we have an opportunity to worship, we have an opportunity to make changes in our lives. Some of those changes are great. Some of those changes are not so great. But you have the opportunity to make a change. We're going to sing this invitation song, and then in a few minutes, we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. And I want you, before we participate in that Lord's Supper, as we sing this song, to examine yourself and to see whether you're going to be able to participate in a worthy manner that will not bring judgment on you. The invitation is yours.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will. morning. Reading this morning from Luke 22, 7 through 23. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is this guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and decide among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for our many, many blessings. Thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we have a chance for eternal life through his blood and the fact that sin was nailed to the cross. Thank you for loving us more than we will ever know. We love you so much, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're able to, please stand and sing.
Because he loved me so.
I know a lot of you see me bring this stool up here and you think, man, this is going to be a long sermon if he has to sit down already. I have to sit down because what we are going to be doing in a few moments is not something you can stand for. I promised that I would update the congregation on my father. He's doing well. He's weak, but in great spirits and seems to have a handle on everything. Several of you have asked about my mother. She's doing wonderful. Our family is experiencing peace and joy during this time. We don't know what the Lord has to in terms of the amount of time, but I plan to go back up and spend a few days with him at the end of this month. And I have a sister and a brother that are in town and another brother that are a couple hours away, and there are grandchildren galore right around them, so they have their church family to visit with them as well. When I was home, we had a few minutes to kill, and I was driving, and I asked the boys, do you want to see where I grew up? They'd seen it before. There was no answer, so I took that as yes. And I drove past where I grew up, and the first thing that anybody said was, Nancy. She says, it looks smaller now. And it does. They've changed some things. The tree that I planted with my dad is now huge. Kind of blocks the house. But as I was driving by, I had this flood of emotion. Some great memories. Great memories. Some not so great. Like the time I decided I was going to take my father's umbrella and jump off the roof and let it work as a parachute. And it didn't. If I hadn't have done that, I would be 6'10 now. But I wonder, did they ever go back? You see, it was that day they entered into Jerusalem, and it was glorious. People were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, save, save now. And then they realized they were there for the Passover meal. And the disciples asked Jesus, what are we going to do? We don't have any place to do this. We need to do this. This is very important. And I'm sure they were a little stressed over it. You ever have a dinner like Thanksgiving, and you're the one that's cooking everything, and you get a little stressed? Or you're having company over, and you want everything to be just right. And Jesus told him, you go, and you'll see a man carrying a pot. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, what's the significance of a man carrying a pot? Well, I'll tell you what the significance is, that in those days, men didn't carry water jars. That was women's work. But there was a man, Peter and John followed him and said, said to him, is the room ready for our Lord? And he had everything ready, and Peter and John prepared the meal. And I wonder if they ever went back and saw the place where that last meal took place. I wonder if when they saw the place, or if they saw the place at all, when they partook of the Lord's Supper, I wonder if their minds didn't flash back. One of the many memories I have when I went back home was the smells of mom making sourdough bread. Oh, I ate those things like candy. I remember the sounds. In our house, there was three boys and one girl, and generally we had somebody staying with us while they got on their feet, so it was always chaos. And I wonder if the disciples remembered the smells and the sounds of that night. You see, the Passover feast was one of these things that all of Israel did. And they did it on the same time and in the same way. It wasn't something that you broke away from, but the Passover feast had certain things about it. There was, of course, the lamb. And some of you may not like lamb. Some of you may. It just depends on your taste. But I love the smell of cooking meat. And so there must have been that smell. There is the taste that go along with that meal, because there was salt water at that meal. And that salt water represented the tears that the Israelites shed when they were in captivity. There were bitter herbs, and that represented the bitterness of slavery and oppression. There was a bowl of nuts and dates and cinnamon sticks, and that represented the bricks that the Israelites had to make while they were in slavery. And then there was the bread. I'm supposed to be on a diet, no carbs. But whenever I go out to eat and somebody puts bread in front of me, oh my goodness, get behind me, Satan. And I don't know about you, but I've had truly unleavened bread. Not crackers, but where someone made hot unleavened bread. And that's a temptation. They had that unleavened bread, and the reason why they didn't have any yeast in it is because the Israelites had to leave in such a hurry that they didn't have time to let bread rise, and they needed something for the trip. But the interesting thing about that is there were 5 glasses of wine served during that meal. There was actually just 4 served. There was 1 that was set on the table. The 4 glasses there represent what was said to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And God makes 4 promises there, and each of those promises are represented in that glass of wine. The first promise was, I will bring you out. And boy, after going through being in bondage and slavery and going through the plagues, for God to say, I will bring you out, it's like getting out of jail. It had to have been an amazing promise. The second glass is, I will deliver you. Because a lot of times you can get out of something, but you weren't really delivered. I love watching the movies where the plot twists and you think they're safe, and then the next thing you know they're not, and then you think they're safe again, and you have this roller coaster of emotions. But that's only for entertainment. I don't like that in my life. So that second glass was, I will deliver you. The third glass was, I will redeem you. And they did this every year, and that point of I will redeem you had to have significance to it, because when you're enslaved and somebody redeems you, that means you're free. The fourth glass was probably the most significant glass, and that's the promise where God said to his people, the Israelites, I will make you my own. But there was that fifth cup. It was called by many Elijah's cup. I don't know exactly why it came to be that way, but I do know that it was also called the Messiah cup. I think for some of the Israelites, they must have studied the word and heard of Elijah. And so what they decided to do, we're going to leave this cup so that when Elijah comes back as the Messiah, we'll be ready for him. So this Passover feast was all about the day that Jesus would come. And when it says Jesus took the cup and divided it among them, I have no doubt it was that fifth cup. And at that very moment, Jesus instituted something for all eternity. And he shattered people having to wait on the Messiah. The interesting thing about this that I'm sure the apostles didn't get at the time, they probably got it later on, either through the gift of the Holy Spirit or just putting the pieces together, was that Jesus came down to this earth. And as John says, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You see, when Jesus came to this earth, he says, "I'm going to bring you out of the bondage of sin." I've been doing some study lately, personal study, and one of the things that I've been studying is the idea of confession. And I wrote down the many sins that are listed in the Bible. And I was amazed how many of them I have done. I'm not a liar, but I've lied. I'm not a thief, but I've stolen. I'm not a pagan, but I've betrayed my God so many times. So Jesus came and he says to us, "I will bring you out of your bondage. I will deliver you from sin, and I will redeem you so that the price of sin has been paid and you can live freely." And the amazing thing of it is, the Hebrew writer says that Jesus now calls us his brothers and sisters. Because of his sacrifice, God has made us his own. I was talking with one of my sweet sisters today, and I know what she feels, because at times I feel the same way. I'm not worthy. There's no way that I can be in heaven. Look at the things that my life has done. Look at the ways that I have disappointed my God. But in this meal, Jesus reminds us, I will make you my own. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. And so, Paul writes, you need to examine yourself. And I think that examination has to do with our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. I've said this multiple times. You want to be a success in this life, make sure that you're in the right relationship with God as well as others. I had a friend of mine text me last night late. Said, Neil, I got an issue. Have you ever come up with this? This man and woman, they want to be baptized, but they're living together. And if I baptize them, they don't want to get married because of the financial burden that it's going to bring, because if she gets married, she loses some of her financial support. And I said, I've come up with that before. And here's the answer that I'm going to give from here on out. You have to be right with God and man. You can't pretend. And today, some of you are in wrong relationships. Some of you are not in the right relationship with God. Some of you need to be buried with Christ in baptism so that you can partake of this meal. And some of you need to have that relationship with God that He wants, and you've let sin get in your life and you can't do it. But when you partake of this meal, the one that was instituted by our Lord and Savior, remember He came to bring you out of sin, to deliver you from its bondage, to redeem you, and to make you His own. And if you can't worship after knowing that, something's wrong. The emblems are important. They're so important. Because you see, after this meal, we read the account of the crucifixion of Jesus, where He gave His body to be hung on the cross, and He gave His blood for your sins. And in the account that we've got that was read to you just a few moments ago, it says, do this in remembrance of me. And I think sometimes, I think it's really good to focus on the cross. But other times, I think it's really good to focus on the price that was paid for my sins and your sins. And then I think it's really good for us to celebrate what's been done for us. In just a moment, I've got a couple of surprises for you. Number one, Craig Johnson's going to come up and lead us in communion. And I hope that that communion is one you will always remember. And at some point in your life, if you have to move away, you'll come back here. And you'll remember the sights and the sounds and the people you were with. just like the disciples must have every time they partake of communion. But my second surprise for you is my buddy Orlando is here. Seeing him in the shell brings back a flood of great memories. They've moved away, but they haven't left here. And he's going to sing our closing song for us today. And I hope that as we partake of this communion, as we sing this last song, even if you haven't worshiped until this moment, that you will open up your heart and let God's Spirit move in so that this communion service will be one you always remember. I love you and I thank you for being my family.
Let's continue preparing our hearts and our minds for this evening.
Does everyone have their cup? Let's pray. Father in heaven, He who was and is and always will be, Creator of all things, Father, as we approach the throne of grace, we're mindful that we can never thank you enough for the sacrifice that was made so that we might have hope of eternal life when this life is over. We thank you for this bread, this unleavened bread, ironically not contaminated by yeast, as your Son was not contaminated by sin. Bless this bread, Father, and all who are partaking of it. And may we do this in a manner which is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Again, Father, we come to you now thanking you for this cup which represents the blood of our risen Savior, the blood that splattered from his back as he was scourged, the blood that dripped from his feet as he stood before Pilate and the angry mob as we yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The blood that stained the old rugged cross, and the blood that washes us clean daily. Thank you for this cup, Father, and what it represents to us as Christians. Bless this cup and all who are partaking of it. And may we do this in a manner which is pleasing in your sight until he comes again. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. There are black box receptacles on the walls and these exits for your welcome cards. And if you're like me, you brought a check today. And there are also instructions how to give online in your bulletins. Let's pray for the offering. Father in heaven, again we come to you now with our heads humbly bowed, knowing you are the one, the true, and the living God. Thank you so much for being so awesome. Thank you for being such a patient and long-suffering God. Help us, Father, to always be patient and long-suffering with others, because we know how much we need this from you. Father, thank you for the elders in this congregation. Thank you for this family of believers. Thank you for my brother Neil. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. We pray, Father, that you accept this offering today, and we pray that it is used in a manner which is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And he gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. We're singing over the love between my Lord. Over and over and over again, and he keeps
Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for sending your one and only Son to die on the cross so we could live with you in heaven. Thank you for the grace and mercy you've given us even after all the sin that we have committed. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.